Welcome to the St. Anne Roman Catholic Podcast, coming to you from Gilbert, Arizona. We pray that God will bless your time as you listen.
Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful gospel passage, and it surely gives us lots to think about it. I'd like for you for a moment to think of a time when maybe you felt as though your life was just one big emotional roller coaster. Maybe you were going from the heights of peace, joy, and stability one moment to sorrow and disillusionment the next. I'm sure all of us have been there through the highs and lows, thinking that everything's going perfect just according to our plan, only to come face to face with someone or something that upends all those plans, leaving you confused and uncertain, not sure about what the future might hold. I know I've been there myself many times, more than I care to remember, and I'm often reminded that if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. That feeling of disappointment and distress shown by the two disciples as they began their journey out of Jerusalem, the very epicenter of their faith, gives us a glimpse of the pitfalls that await those who reject or drift away from faith in Christ. It seems to me that they were trying to get away from the anguish of having put all their hope and faith in a man who they believed was the awaited for Messiah, only to lose him to a humiliating trial, torture, and execution. They were left feeling alone and empty, possibly on the verge of despair. They were trying to get away, but the all-consuming events of the previous 3 days were all that they could think about, all that they could talk about. They were playing it over and over again, trying to make sense of it all. Many of us tend to do the same thing. When a world seems to come crashing down around us and all our plans come to naught, maybe we look for someone or something to blame. But that feeling of disappointment and that desire to change events won't go away, but it won't happen, because what is done is done. As our two disciples continue on the road to Emmaus, they encounter Jesus, but they were blinded to his presence among them. We're told that their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Their hearts had grown cold, and the fire within was snuffed out. They turned to themselves for answers rather than seeking solace in God, the source of everlasting peace. They no longer hoped in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. I imagine that Jesus was walking with them for at least a little while, just listening and not saying anything before joining their conversation. You notice that Cleopas responds with a bit of an attitude to him. Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here in these days? Then he goes on again, retelling the events for Jesus' sake, referring to him as a mighty prophet that they had hoped would redeem Israel. Cleopas even relays the report of the empty tomb and the woman who had found the angels made the appearance to them, and that Jesus was indeed alive. Then Jesus, who as far as they know was just another traveler on the road, calls them fools for being slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Their lamenting then comes to an abrupt end as Jesus enters into the liturgy of the word, and the veil begins to thin as the mystery of his life is unfolded before them, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, the eternal word who had become flesh laid open for them the sacred scriptures, in the new and everlasting covenant that was hidden in the old. Like a lot of you, I've been to some pretty good Bible studies and sat at the feet, so to speak, of many wise and learned people, men and women both. But I can only imagine just how wrapped with attention they must have been listening to the author of life. The Word made flesh was explaining to them salvation history, his story. As they approached the village, Jesus gave the impression that he was moving on past them. They still didn't recognize who was with them, but they had been listening, and they didn't want it to end. So at their request, he stayed and joined them at table. Then we move into the liturgy of the Eucharist. Jesus took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, the veil was lifted, and they recognized him. And immediately he vanished from their sight. Yet he still remained. He remained in the Eucharist that he had just given them. Commenting on this, Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI wrote, "The presence of Jesus, first with his words and then with the act of breaking the bread, made it possible for the disciples to recognize him. Now they were able to appreciate in a new way all that he had previously experienced with them. Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" From these accounts, it's clear that scripture itself points us toward an appreciation of its own unbreakable bond with the Eucharist. In fact, the church teaches that she has always venerated the scriptures as she does the body of our Lord, particularly in the sacred liturgy, the Mass, where we partake of the bread of life from the one table, the Word of God, and the body of Christ. Our disciples began to walk out of Jerusalem brokenhearted and feeling dejected. Now, after spending time listening to the good news delivered to them by a perceived stranger, the transformative power of the Word of God softened their hearts and prepared them for the supernatural grace derived from the Eucharist. Hope was restored, and they were re-energized to the point of setting out once again back to Jerusalem, now unafraid and full of purpose. Today's gospel is relevant to each and every one of us here today, just as it was on the evening of the resurrection to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus promised to remain with us always. That's why he founded the sacrament of salvation, his church here on earth. That's why he instituted the seven sacraments and entrusted them to his church for our sanctification. He walks with us everywhere we go. Jesus is alive. The Lord is risen. Indeed, he is risen. And he wants you to walk with him. I encourage you to practice the presence of God in every facet of your life by remembering that he is always with you. And then act accordingly, knowing that he is with you. So next time you come face to face with someone or something that seems to upend all your plans and leaving you confused and uncertain about what the future might hold, cling to Jesus. Talk to him in prayer. Spend time with him before the Blessed Sacrament and lay all your problems at his feet. Yoke to him. Yoke to him, and he will help you carry the load that seems too big to bear alone. Be not afraid. God loves you, and he will never, ever abandon you. He has given you his word. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. Anne Roman Catholic Podcast. For additional podcasts and media, visit us on the web at www.stanneaz.org. Again, that's www.stanneaz.org. St. Anne, pray for us.